Hurkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Joe, the Kid Perez.
What's up, dude?
We got a great, great, great show today. We got Cynthia Cavillo calling in. We got Touchy Feely calling in, and Phil Baroni, who is fighting Chris Lieben and bare knuckle boxing coming up. So can't wait to talk to all those people. I want to thank Speedweed. Listen, people, marijuana in California is legal. Yes, about time. And the best place to go is speedweed.com. Follow them at Speedweed. And tell them MMA Roasted sent you. Okay, it'll help me. And they're great people. And trust me, they give me a box every week, and I get the best weed you could have. Mm-hmm. I get edibles. I get marijuana joints. Pens. I get joints. I get THC lube. Sex lube.
Yeah.
I get marijuana beef jerky. I get those little dips, cannabis dips. It's just, it's unbelievable what they give me. And I love all of it. It's amazing. I also, as well as CBD oil, I've been doing Muay Thai, and my joints are sore. I'm 40 years old, so I'm not like Joe. What are you, 22, 23?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. I don't have the pep in my step that I once had. So the
masculinity is what you're trying to say.
No, that's not what I'm trying to say, you idiot. Okay, bro, I'm trying to say my joints don't work as well as they used to be, all right? But the joints that they give me work amazing.
There it is.
So check out speedweed.com. Mention Roasted to get $10 off. Orders $100 or more. Go to speedweed.com and follow them at Speedweed or LA Speedweed on Twitter and Instagram. So my wife, still haven't had the baby yet. She's 7 days late.
What's her actual due date?
It was July 28th.
Was it?
Yeah, so she's late.
Oh, no. It might be a giant baby, dude.
Or either that or the father's black, because because black people are late a lot, too. So I'm a little nervous about that. Not about her being, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Tonight we're going, and she's getting, we went to the doctor, and she's not dilating yet. And they said they might have to put a balloon up there.
Yeah.
A balloon catheter, which I then said, is a clown going to put it up there? And the guy said, no. The doctor looked at me and just said, no. I go, is it come out looking like a dog? He didn't like my jokes. But yeah, they're putting a balloon up there, and it's tough. I feel bad because my wife is in a lot of pain, mm-hmm. and it's just like she's
having contractions.
Lots of contractions, but no baby yet. Our baby's, you know, making us wait. She's kicking a lot.
Okay, that's good.
So yeah, so that's that. And then what did I do? I had a great show on Friday. Did the Ha Ha, hosted both shows. And of course, like, Russell Peters called me up, said he wanted to come down.
Uh-huh.
So I invited Russell, and then Russell came down, and I told after the first show, Terry tells me, hey, tell the crowd they could stay for the second show if they buy two more drinks. So I'm like, okay. So then I'm like, oh, shit, I know I got to do 25 more minutes up top.
Because I already heard your material.
Yeah, which is no problem. It was easy. But I just, you know, it wasn't like I prepared. But that's it. You know, you do comedy long enough for just, someone tells you what to do, you just do it.
Did nobody buy tickets for the second show? Is that what it was?
It was half full, but they wanted it all full. And Russell came in and murdered. Did 45 minutes of murdered. And then took me to the fights. I couldn't get tickets to the fights. I wanted to take you. I wanted to take all these people.
Uh-huh.
So me and Russell went to the fights.
He bought tickets?
No. Cody Nolove's team gave him tickets.
Wow, okay.
Which is hard because I was sitting in that section.
Oh, no.
With like the Nolove's. And not a lot of love during that fight. And I felt so bad because he had his sister that was there, and she was crying. And she was like 11 or something.
No.
Just like, yeah. But the experience, the fight itself, just being that card was amazing.
It was a great card, dude.
Yeah.
Everybody said, look at this dog shit card. It's boring. What the fuck?
And that always happens. Like UFC 200 with Brock, everyone's like, this is going to be the best card ever.
Yep.
And people are like spending billions of dollars. This card had a bunch of like hungry, I don't want to say no names, but lesser known fighters, and they all fought like champs.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there. Once again, I get to the fight. Doors open. First fight's at 3:30. Mm-hmm. I'm there at 3:30. I had coached wrestling from 11. I did a private 11 to 12. It's hard to do a private with one kid because I just let a 10-year-old beat me up for an hour.
Nice.
And then I had a bunch of kids coming. And actually, one of my former students came, and Jamie Kilstein came. I mean, you know, me and Jamie are becoming pretty good friends, and actually really good friends. And that was awesome. And then I go to the fights, and I'm the only one there.
Really?
So it's like me and, like, I mean, there were other people there. But I'm like, man, I don't understand. You got the best seats in the house. These people come for like the last two fights. And like it's MMA, there's gonna be so many better fights usually on the undercard.
Yeah.
And there was. Let's go through it. First of all, I once again parlayed it and got killed on my parlay.
You bet?
Yeah, I bet $50. And I'm like,
oh, it's not bad.
Well, also I was thinking like the seats that I had would have cost me thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm up.
Yeah.
You know what
you're
I'm
up,
saying?
Dude.
But of course I bet on guys who've like been on the podcast like an idiot. Because I bet Shorty Torres. That I'm like, oh, he's definitely gonna win. Mm-hmm. He's undefeated. Alex is good. This guy Alex, who he's fighting, and he got wrecked.
But didn't Shorty fight like a month ago, dude?
Yeah, but he also that was against the monkey guy.
Yeah,
the monkey guy knocked himself out.
Yeah,
and Shorty was losing that card. Was losing that fight.
Yeah,
before he knocked himself out, he says he did it on purpose. Like he set himself up to get like Shorty orchestrated him knocking himself out.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that. So let's go through it. Marlon Vera looked great. Super happy for him.
It's a good fight.
Yeah. And then Danielle Taylor, I think, has the best butt in MMA.
Yeah.
She's like 3'4". Like, all her weight is in her butt.
And her legs. She's got some thick, giant legs,
dude.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
And you know what? She fought this girl, Wel Zhang. And I was there. And I think she won Taylor.
You do?
I do. She was landing the harder shots.
Right.
And I think she won. But they gave it to Welly Zhang. It was unanimous. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
But would you still sleep with a woman even though she's that short? Like, does a short thing kind of turn you off or no?
I mean, it's not like a little person. I'm just not into little people.
I feel like it's borderline, though. She's like borderline
dwarf.
I don't
think it's borderline. Some people are into little people, and that's just not my that's not my thing.
Yeah, mine, you know,
really? That's not your thing?
Not really. I mean, a little bit. I can see it, but it's just not really my thing. Yeah. I mean, I'd definitely bang her, dude. I'd definitely bang her. There's something about a girl that's that short. It's kind of like, dang.
She's in the fours, you think? 4'11"?
I think she's like 5 foot even or something.
5 foot's fine. Yeah. I think the cutoff is like 4'11".
Yeah.
I think I dated a cheerleader that was like 5 foot, and she gave really good head. I got a UCLA cheerleader.
Nice.
Yeah, here's what happened. See, I used to, when I opened up the Westwood Brewing Company, mm-hmm. there's this bar in Westwood, mm-hmm. and I came out to LA, I had nowhere to perform, and I was like, I gotta start my own show, because I was used to getting like 10 spots a week in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to UCLA, I walk around, I tell everyone that Chris Rock's gonna be at this club, but I knew that if I got hot girls, then I would get good comics.
Mm-hmm.
So sororities had a thing where you can go make an announcement. Anybody could just walk into a sorority house, it was called Row Walk, whatever. And they would all be dressed on Miners Monday. They're all dressed in whatever, like these huge, beautiful, dresses. You can go in there. So I went in there every Monday, like, hey guys, comedy show. And they were so annoyed with me because I didn't go to the school, number one.
Uh-huh.
And number two, they knew that there was a fucking show, but the place only held 40 people.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the sorority girls came. Before you know it, I had the hottest show. I had the Wayans brothers showing up, and Chelsea Handler.
That's
and
awesome.
Nick Swartzen, and all these, Dane Cook, and all these comics. Because when you get hot chicks, you're going to get good comics, because comics want to perform in front of hot women.
Okay.
It's a secret of the comedy. All right, so the girls, a lot of the sororities were really cool, but some of them actually were just, they fucking hated me,
mm-hmm.
because I was annoying.
Uh-huh.
So, and I would even bring like Theo Vaughn with me or whoever. One time they had a super soaker into my head when I came to the door. It was so disrespectful.
What?
I was like, really? Here I am just trying to make a living as a comic, and I'm promoting, and you're allowed to promote, and I was putting on a free show for the college kids, and sometimes they would invite me to dinners with them, and I'd eat with them, or I would end up doing crowd work and just heckling them while they're, but so what ended up happening was I ended up hooking up with a couple of sorority girls and getting blowjobs in the houses.
At the same time, dude?
No, just like a different time.
Okay.
But I remember thinking to myself, like, aha, I gotcha.
You won.
I kind of won.
Yeah.
And I wasn't old. I was 27, 26. I was like, you know, I was still in my 20s.
Okay, that's
where
fair.
I think it was, and these girls were 21, 22.
That's hot.
Maybe 20.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I did back in the day. Well, I don't know why I'm talking. But yeah, there was one girl that was like 4'11". That was really cool. And then I did a kamikaze comedy where I had Corey Holcomb do his comedy set for them. If you don't know Corey Holcomb, he's the most offensive, misogynistic, hilarious comedian. Uh-huh. If you look up comedians or women hate Corey Holcomb on YouTube, I was in the background laughing. He did his act for these girls,
uh-huh.
and told them that like that they're after sex, their value depreciates tremendously. And there's a whole bit about that, and it's the funniest thing ever. Anyway, I digress.
Up next, Perez.
Other fights, Shaman won also. Ricky Simone, I had him in my parlay. He won. He beat Montel Jackson.
Yeah.
That was a great fight. The fight of the night was Pedro Munhoz, Brett Johns. Brett Johns, we've had him on the show before. Mm-hmm. Even though he lost that fight, that dude is the kind of guy, if you and your boys are in a fight, and it's like you and your friend against 10 people, uh-huh. That's the guy you want to have your
back.
That
dude can get stabbed and shot 100 times, and he'll still come at you. He can die and come back as a zombie and still kick your ass.
He's got that Welsh, yeah. Tough. Like, he reminds me of like Brad Pitt and like Snatch. Or, I mean, he just has that thing about him where he's not going to give up. I know he lost 2 fights in a row, now to Pedro Munhoz, before that to Aljamain Sterling. I hope they don't cut him.
He's fun.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, he's fun.
And awesome. Thiago Santos beat Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland was getting the crap beaten out of him and talking shit. If you're going to talk shit during a fight, you can't do it while you're losing. You just can't. You can't do that.
Yeah.
He looked okay, though. He just had a lot of... There were a lot of ways where Thiago Santos was better everywhere. And then also... Cub Swanson, that was hard to watch.
That was. I felt so bad because it's his hometown. He came in. He was like super positive. And dude, I was kind of worried for him too because that dude, Moicano, yeah. Moicano, that dude's scary, dude.
Scary, but also it just shows you how stupid the rankings are because he was ranked number 4, I think. The other guy was ranked number 9 or 10. And Moicano was a 3-1 favorite.
Uh-huh.
Like, why does a 3-1, how do you have a 3-1 favorite of a guy who's ranked 5 times higher than you? It makes absolutely no sense.
Right.
So
that's 2 down for Swanson, 2 losses in a row, or 3? I think it's 2, because his last was Brian Ortega.
No, it was Ortega, Frankie Edgar, and now this guy. He's such a streaky fighter. He's one of those dudes that loses 3 in a row and then wins 3 in a row. I think he might be... Look, I used to have this joke and had a philosophy that once you got a super hot girlfriend or wife, you're done. As an athlete, as an actor, as a singer... You look at, like, some of these great athletes over time and what happened. Like, when Derek Jeter was dating Mariah Carey or when A-Rod was dating J-Lo, they couldn't hit anymore. It was over. Okay. Mike Tyson started fucking Robin Givens. Robin Givens back in the day was bad.
Who the hell is Robin Givens?
Robin Givens back in the day was like Boomerang. She was on the movie Boomerang. She was on a show called Head of the Class, which is... way before your time.
Uh-huh.
And she was part of the demise of... Mike Tyson was the demise of Mike Tyson, but she was also part of it. You look at some of these athletes, and Cub's girl is smoking hot.
Uh-huh.
She was the one that used to host the Best of Pride, and
Is she blonde?
No, she's brunette.
Okay.
She's Latino.
There's so many of these fighters whose wives look identical to each other, like Chad Mendes and Demetrius and some other dude. Like, all their wives look identical. Oh, yeah, TJ's wife. All their wives look exactly the same. Like
Kenda Perez. Her name is Kenda Perez.
Uh-huh.
And she's bad. But I just think that, like, sometimes when you get a super hot chick, your career, like Ben Affleck, when he was dating J-Lo, his career went to shit. Mm-hmm. Mark Anthony. Another guy, like he was like the baddest dude. That's why you got to go out with like Roseanne Barr or you know Precious. You got to find a girl that's just not gonna,
Precious.
Yeah, this is not gonna fuck up your mojo.
Yeah,
maybe not. But yeah, so Cub, I felt bad for him. It just seemed like his head wasn't really into it. But look, his wife's pregnant with twins. He's got a beautiful daughter. He's made some money.
Uh huh.
He's got a great career. So, you know, maybe it's time to ride off in the sunset. I don't know. I don't want to see him taking losses like this. The good news is that he didn't really get hurt. Like, I saw him after the fight, like, 10 minutes after.
Yeah, he just came out to the stands, right?
Yeah, he had a busted lip, but he didn't really look like he was in, you know, he didn't take a beating.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is good. And then, of course, DJ Demetrius Johnson versus Henry Cejudo.
Damn, dude.
A lot of people are conflicted on this. They say Henry didn't really win. They go, in order to beat the champ, you got to really beat him. Decisively. Look, that was the case in boxing in the 60s, 50s, the 70s, the 80s, maybe even the 40s. Not the case in boxing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And not the case in MMA. Do I like that? In order to beat the champ, you got to beat the champ? Sure. It's a great philosophy, and that's a great way to do it. But that's not how they do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We go round by round. We go points by points. And Henry Cejudo won that fight.
Yeah, he definitely won.
Did he dominate? No. Did he crush him? No. Did he win? Yes.
Yeah.
If you when you factor in takedowns, it was pretty even on striking, and that's what happened. So.
And it's super impressive, like when you watch that first round, like how he injured his foot or whatever the hell happened with his nerve. It's like Right when I saw that happen, I'm like, dude, it's the first round. He's already about to lose because it's some freak accident. But it's crazy to see how he just jumped back and came back and won that five-round fight.
And, you know, of course DJ should get the rematch. Of course. You don't become the most dominant champ of all time and break all these records and not get a rematch. Mm-hmm. Especially somebody destroyed him in the first fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand Henry wants to go to 135. Look, DJ is not a very liked champion. People were cheering for Henry in the thing. Henry's not from California, and neither is DJ. People wanted to see Henry win. They like he's a gold medalist, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't have a great personality either for fighting. It's not exactly like Henry Cejudo's the guy that everyone's just going to run to. It's like, he's our guy. But DJ is a little shy, a little arrogant, a little this, but doesn't really connect with a lot of people. Do I like Demetrius Johnson? Sure. I met him on him numerous times. Great guy. Nice guy. I'm a fan. I'm a fan for life. I'm just telling you that it's not like, you know, it's not like Chael or Conor McGregor or, you know, Daniel Cormier now, or even there are certain guys that people just, they just, that's their guy.
Right.
They go nuts. GSP, Nick Diaz. I mean, the fans just love those fighters. Demetrius Johnson is amazing, but doesn't really connect with the fans. Why? Maybe it's, you could say a lot of reasons. So one, maybe it's the weight class. Maybe it's because he's just so much better than everybody and he's so dominant. He doesn't talk smack. He's not rude. He doesn't really, you know, it's just, that's just the way he is.
But does anybody in that division connect with the fans?
At 125?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not really. And you can maybe blame the division, but I know in boxing, Prince Nassim had a lot of fans. I mean, if there was a guy just blowing, knocking everybody out, like a little guy that was just
talking shit.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Dotson was going to be that guy. Uncle Creepy kind of connected with the fans for a second.
Yeah.
I saw him after the fight. He looks great, by the way. He seems very happy, healthy, in a great place. So that's cool.
So you're calling for an immediate rematch?
Immediate rematch.
Okay.
Unless he goes to 35 and fights TJ Dillashaw.
Would you like that fight or no?
Yes.
I would too.
I would too. I would love, of course. You got, whenever you have two champions fight each other, it's amazing. And that's a good fight. I don't know who wins that fight.
Would you rather see that or the TJ versus Dominic Cruz fight?
Man, I mean, Dominic Cruz beat him twice. But Dominic Cruz, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different factors there. I mean,
Dominic hasn't fought in like 3 years.
I mean, what about Moraes? I mean, Moraes is just destroying everybody.
I think he deserves it.
I mean, he just knocked out Jimmy Rivera in 30 seconds. And then he also, who else did he beat? Somebody also? He just
Aljamain Sterling.
He beat Aljamain Sterling. I mean, quickly. And somebody else he beat really quickly.
I can't remember. Was it Henan Barao? No.
No.
I can't remember.
But somebody else. I mean, that guy, I think. If you're going to give a guy a shot, it's that guy.
So how do you think he does against TJ?
I don't know. The way he, the same guy that shows up against Aljamain Sterling and against Jimmy Rivera was on an 18-fight winning streak.
Yeah.
And crazy, who did he beat?
I think they still should make the Jimmy Rivera Dominic Cruz fight just for so Dominic can have a warm up fight, because I get kind of nervous to see him go straight into a title fight when he's had such a long layoff. So I think it'd be I'd be fine with TJ versus Marlon or TJ versus Henry. I think TJ Henry draws more and sells more.
Yeah. I'm looking right now who he just beat. He beats, because I know people are probably screaming it at me while watching. That's what I do when I listen to podcasts.
Like, yep.
He beat this person.
Yep.
He beat what's his name? Marion Moraes just beat. He knocked out somebody quick. This dude. Mixed martial art. Jimmy Rivera was the last guy he beat.
He beat
Aljamain Sterling. John Dotson he barely beat. And he lost to Asensio. But before that, he was murdering people in WSOF. His last fight before that was 2011.
Wait, so how long is his win streak right now?
It's two. But he beat Sterling and Rivera.
You're right.
I mean, those are amazing guys.
Right.
So I think he deserves the title shot next. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk about the Cody Nolov. I don't know. I mean, you know, according to TJ, Cody's chin is gone. They were talking about his chin back in practice. It doesn't make a great case that he hasn't a great chin by the last fight, but that just could be certain fighters get me. He got hit sort of on the side of the head, which knocks out your equilibrium. I don't think the fight was stopped too soon. I think it was stopped in the right area. I mean, look, a lot of guys didn't have the best chin and did very well. And look at Vladimir Klitschko, got knocked out a bunch of times, and he figured out how to fight by not getting his chin tested.
Mm-hmm.
There are guys, I remember Arlovsky. Andrei Arlovsky was getting fucking clobbered. And he knocked out like four times in a row. And then he figured out a way to fight where he wasn't getting his chin tested.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have the best chin to be a very successful fighter. You don't. Obviously, it helps.
Right.
If you're Chris Lieben, and you can get hit with a car and fucking not, it obviously helps. But it's not the end-all, be-all. It's just to figure out a way to fight and not get clipped.
Right.
And that was not the best way to fight on Saturday night for Cody Nolov.
Mm.
But I think Cody can come back. He's a champ. He's a champ at life. He's a good dude. And he's solid. And he just needs to figure out, you know, better game plan. Game plan is everything, man.
Do you get sad for these fights that are super hyped up, like this one, that end up only lasting like one round or a couple seconds? I get so depressed.
No, because I get more sad for when it's a 5-round stinker.
Yeah.
You know, or when it's people are falling asleep or booing or
right.
chanting fight, 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 you know?
Right.
Like in the Ngannou versus the Black Beast. I mean,
they were chanting fight?
Yeah, they were chanting fight.
Wow.
That's, you know, like in middle school. Remember middle school when everyone would circle around?
Yep.
Two kids and people go fight, fight, fight.
Yep.
That shouldn't be happening when you have two of the baddest heavyweights in the world.
Yeah.
So I get more upset about that.
Damn.
World Series of Fighting, or PFL, took place on Thursday night. There were some great fights in that. Did you watch it?
Nope.
Okay. Well, Jason High, who I think has the worst luck in the history of fighting, he fought this dude who is a beast. Nathan Schultz is the truth, people. He tapped High in one round. And High is a good fighter. And he beat Chris Wade up. So Nathan Schultz, people, look out for that name. You heard it here first. This dude's the truth. Chris Wade came back, awesome, fought in Long Island, from Long Island, started the fight with like a flying crane kick,
mm-hmm.
almost landed it, won in one round. And I'll tell you, Vinny Magalhaes looked like a world beater in there.
Were you fought in MMA?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And he knocked out the former Bellator champion with a head kick that was awesome, well, followed by punches. Vinny Magalhaes, you know, it just shows you how money motivates people. Because now there's $1 million on the line, and he's now won two fights in less than under a minute each.
Wow.
Killing people.
Has he submitted anybody?
I think he beat Brandon Halsey. He's killing everybody.
Okay.
Because now he's $1 million. Uh-huh. And he's like, fuck it. I'll train for $1 million. Like, this is a different Vinny Magalhaes. This $1 million prize is very motivating.
Is this the same card with Henzo Gracie?
No, that was
Gary Tonin.
That was 2 weeks ago. That was PFL is the WSOF. That's in the U.S. 1FC is in China.
Oh, okay.
And that was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Those guys look great. So it was a fun that PFL's, they got a good product, and people should be paying more attention. I don't know. I guess they're spending all the money on $1 million and none on advertising or telling anyone. But they have Eve Edwards, Boz Rutten, Randy Couture announcing it, and they got great fighters. And I'm all about PFL right now. I just wish people would know about it.
How do you watch it in the first place? It's on TV.
It's on NBC Sports.
NBC?
NBC.
NBC.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also on Facebook Live.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might be easier. Yeah, you go to their webpage?
It's great because you could actually know everyone that's watching it. Because it tells you on Facebook who's watching it. It's like me and like Kelvin Gastelum are like the
only
people.
Is there a chat box where you can all type in the chat?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. But then people start arguing over like Conor McGregor versus Khabib.
No.
And it's the whole thing. But by the way, that fight, I'm excited about it, but it's one of those things where I'm not going to be that excited until like the week of, because there's just so many chances of that not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Between Conor McGregor going on a coke binge,
yep.
running around, beating up whatever he's doing, fighting crime, warlords, causing crime,
yep.
and Khabib getting hurt, you know, getting the mail. I have to really see it for it to happen.
And if Khabib misses weight, it's not going to be for a championship title. It's just going to be for a regular fight, right?
Yeah. I don't think he's going to miss weight. He made weight for his last fight, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's on a new diet. He's looking ripped.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. But this fight, I want Khabib to win. I like Khabib better. I just think that they got to teach this guy to put his chin down. His chin is straight up in the air. And McGregor, look who he's knocked out. Look, Dustin Poirier, Jose Aldo, Eddie Alvarez, dropped Nate Diaz like four times in that second fight. Mm-hmm. This dude hits fucking hard. Don't think because he couldn't knock out Mayweather, the best defensive fighter ever, with 12-ounce gloves, he doesn't hit like a fucking, you know, shit brick house, whatever mm-hmm. it is, brick shit house. Whatever, the dude hits so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried
mm-hmm.
for Khabib.
Mm-hmm.
Why is his chin still in the air?
I don't know, but I think that's what makes this fight so exciting. Because, you know, if Khabib takes Conor to the ground, it's over. But if they decide to stand up for the entire fight, it's over. And that's going to be in Conor's favor, obviously.
Of course.
That's what makes it so exciting.
Of course, yes, 100%. I'm so excited about this fight. Mm-hmm. So we're going to call Touchy Feely right now, who has a new rap song.
What?
And it's really good.
What?
Yes, I like it. I actually before we call him, you actually want to hear the song?
Let's hear it.
All right, so we're gonna I'm gonna play Touchy Feely's rap song. Let me see where it is if I can get it on YouTube. So yeah, it's good. I like it. Some people don't like it. They don't like this genre of music. I'm all about it, and he's good in it. He's a good rapper.
It's like, is it his song or he's like featuring on it?
He's one of like five rappers.
I didn't know he was in a rap group, dude.
Yeah, he was in a movie just recently.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Where he plays like a. We're going to talk about him. So here,
okay.
So Andre Feely rap song. It's called, where is this? Prof Andre the Giant. Here we go. Touchy Feely. Yeah, it's good. I like it. I mean, I could see why. I don't know. Fuck everybody else. I like it. As long as I like it. It's called Aya.
Aya?
A-Y-U-H. It's O-N-U. Aya. This is Touchy Feely's rap song. Hey, yeah! I want to ask him what that means. You can watch it on YouTube. So this is him rapping.
That's him?
Yeah. So that's Outkast and Underdogs by Andre Feely.
He's in a straight up rap group, dude. Yeah, it's like 20 dudes.
It's like I think it's good.
It's good.
I like it.
I approve. As a rapper like myself, I approve. I'm wondering if they're having auditions.
As a rapper yourself? Oh, thanks, baby. My wife just got me some juice.
All right.
Thanks, babe.
Hello?
Hey, is this Andre Feely?
Hello.
What's up, man? This is Adam Hunter and Joe Perez.
Hello?
Hello, it's Andre Feely.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, what's up, man? It's Adam Hunter.
Oh, what's up, brother? Give me a
set. Sure.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me or no?
Yes. Yes. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Adam, let me call you back in 10 minutes.
All right, no problem.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's totally cool.
Hold on.
All right. All right, so that was Andre Feely.
Cool.
We're going to call him back. I like my girls kissing girls. I don't really like when my girls kiss girls, though. I get like a...
No, I get it, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I would get jealous.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what if Brie came out and said that she has like some like not severe, but kind of deep sexual fantasies of being with another woman, would you get concerned?
Very concerned, of course.
Really? Even if it's just like pure sexual, like she wants to suck on some titties or something.
Yeah, because I know a lot of girls that were that left their man and just became like full-on lesbians.
Yeah, I know somebody like that in real life too.
Yeah, so I think I would get concerned. But, you know, I want her to be happy, but I would probably, you know, I'd be annoyed. Hold on one sec, because this is Andre. What's up, Andre?
What up, brother?
So, yeah, we actually played your verse from your song. The I like with my girls, kissing girls, hey, yeah.
Right.
Do you like your when your girls kiss girls or no?
That's about all I like these days. That's one of the only things I like.
Really? Now, by the way, I happen to like the song a lot. I think it gets me pumped up. Are you going to walk out to that song?
I should, huh?
You definitely should. Definitely should.
I always walk out to Mac Dre, who's like a local legend in Northern California. When I was like 15, hanging out, getting in trouble with all my friends and shit, I told them when I'm in New York City, I'm going to walk out to Mac Dre. So I always do it because I said I was going to do it when I was 15. But now I'm going to walk out to my own shit now.
Now, is that your group?
Walking out to my own music.
Now, is that your group, Outkasts and the Underdogs?
Yeah, that's my little crew. That's my homies.
I like it. I like it, man. It's yeah. It seems like now how that video. How long did it take to like shoot that video?
We just shot it in a day. It was kind of hard. Like it was the beginning of camp, and I knew that if I pushed it back later into camp, I wouldn't want to do it because I'm focused on the fight, you know. So we got it all done in a day.
You got a big fight coming up against.
There's a really really talented group of like dudes.
No, I love
direct
it.
Music videos and do like. Video production stuff here in Sac, so I linked up with them and they got that shit done.
I love it. Now you got a fight coming up against Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson, yep. Very, very talented fighter. Sometimes gets in his own way. Plays, you know, as far as the Nate Diaz fight, the Justin Gaethje fight, one of these dudes that you can get into his head. Is that one of your plans?
I don't know about all that. My plan is to punch him right on his fucking chin before he punches me. You know what I mean? Like, he's lost to good guys. He's lost plenty of fights, but they're all to really high-level guys. So this is a chance to prove that I'm one of those high-level guys. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm not really talking shit to him. I'm not trying to get his hand. I'm not doing any of that shit. I'm focusing on myself. And, you know, as far as getting his head, it's going to be after the first exchange, when I land and he feels my power, you know, my movement, and then he sees what I'm bringing to the table, like, he won't want to be there anymore.
This fight has, like, fireworks written all over it, man. I mean,
yeah, it's going to be violent, dude. It's going to be like, you shouldn't let your kids watch this fight. It's going to be fucked up. What happens?
This is going to, now, when's the fight and where?
2.5 weeks, 3 weeks from Saturday, last Saturday, in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Wow.
AKA the social hub of the United States.
Yeah, I can't wait for this fight. This is going to be awesome. Now, I didn't realize I was
looking. Yeah, I can't fucking wait either.
I was looking you up. I didn't realize that you were half Samoan. Are you the smallest Samoan ever?
Yeah, I'm half Caucasian, half Polynesian, and I'm the smallest Samoan ever for sure.
Because like,
you'd be hard pressed to find another. You'd be real hard pressed. There's like two other Samoan fighters in the UFC. No, there's like three or four, I guess. So there's actually, I take it back. I think there's exactly 5 Samoan fighters. 3 of them are heavyweights. The other 2 are me and Holloway at 45. So like it's like big and small, I guess.
Wow. Now
that's it.
Yeah. No, I love Samoans, but they are very, very. They're very loyal people, but they're also violent people.
Yeah, they're good.
Like holy fuck.
Yeah, they're fucking psychopaths.
Yeah.
They're complete psychopaths, but they're fucking great people. Some of the nicest people. Some of the nicest people are the sickest pricks, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. I didn't realize that. Now when you fought Holloway, did you think that when you were fighting him, one day this guy could be or will be the champion?
Yeah, I knew he was good. You know, like, I thought that regardless of how that fight went, him and I would meet later on down the road, which I think him and I will fight for a world title one day soon.
Yeah.
That's like, that's my homie, though. Don't get me wrong, I fuck with Holloway heavily. Like, I try not to be, like, I'm not really good, like, friends with anybody at the division because we're all going to fight, you know? Like, I don't have a lot of friends that are 45ers that aren't on my team. But Holloway's one of the dudes that I really like. I really consider him a homie. He's a good person and handles his shit. And yeah, I got love for Holloway. He's a solid dude.
1,000%. Now I know it was rough Saturday with Cody. Have you talked to him? Yeah. What do you think went wrong?
I talked to him. I don't really talk to him about gameplay and shit, you know. I'm not his coach, not really my job. I'm just here as a friend and a teammate, as a brother, you know. Just told him I love him, told him I'm proud of him, and keep his head up. You know, he seems like he's in good spirits. He's got a beautiful wife, brand new, beautiful baby boy. Like, life's all right, you know.
Yeah.
He's doing good. I mean, it sucks to lose fights. Nobody ever wants to lose a fight, but he'll be all right. He'll bounce back.
Now, did you tell him that you would, like, possibly try to, like, get cut to 35 and, like, avenge his loss and, like, beat TJ?
Nah, I think 35 is his, 45 is mine, and who knows? We'll see, but if TJ ever comes to 45, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Nah, I'll fight anybody at 45. It don't matter to me, but I'm too big. I'm a small Samoan, but I'm too fucking big to make 35, I'll tell you that.
Right. By the way, so you came to my show.
I'm a huge 45er.
You came to my show with your beautiful girlfriend, gorgeous, and I was giving you a hard time saying that you banged all the chicks, the Team Alpha Male, and everybody else, and then she got mad at you that night, right?
Nah, she didn't get mad. It's just like, I don't know. Yeah, who knows? She's a girl. She's awesome. She's like one of the coolest girls I've ever met, but still a girl. She's not gonna be stoked on hearing about how much pussy I used to get, you know. But it wasn't that big of a deal. She never gets too mad about anything for too long.
Good.
She was just like, what the fuck is that about? And I was like, no, you heard him. You heard him. Like, I used to get pussy, but I'm gay. Remember? You heard him. Like, haha, it's all a joke. but I laughed way harder than she did.
Now, where did you meet this girl?
We've been dating for like 2 years, man. It's cool. It's like first real serious relationship. I'm doing all the corny in love shit that everybody talks about. Like, she makes me want to be a better person and all that corny shit people always talk about. Okay, that's where I'm at, man. Like, we've been together for 2 years. Things are good. And she's fucking hot. She's supportive. She's cool. She has good taste in music. You know, like, it don't get much better, really. She's fucking awesome, man.
So you think she's the one?
Man, I really do. As corny as it sounds, like, I always used to make fun of my friends who were all lovesick, but that's where I'm at, man. Like, I never really thought I'd be a dude who, like, gets married and does the family thing, like, conventional family thing, but fuck, I'm gonna do it. She's the one.
It's crazy, man.
She's cool, like, as fuck, you know?
It's crazy. Like, when I first met you, you were single, you had Paige VanZant.
Say it again?
When I first met you, you were single, you and Cody were both dating Paige VanZant, and now you're like, now he's married with a kid, and now you're gonna get married. It's just crazy. It's like,
it's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah,
it's like you can fight. I've had that fucking Peter Pan complex my whole life. About growing up, I just turned 28, and actually it feels good. I was dreading it. Now I'm like, fuck, I'm an adult. Everything's good, dude. Like, I'm good. I'm set.
Yeah, you're
it's good. It's only getting better.
Yeah,
I'm young enough to do what the fuck I want, and I'm old enough to know how to do it. You know, it's like everything's perfect, bro.
You were also in a movie that Uriah Faber produced.
Yeah, I had my first role in a feature film, so it was fucking fun, man. It was really cool.
I saw a picture of you. Like, now you're a drug dealer. What are you? What is this? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm like a sketchy cousin that sells weed. A sketchy guy with tattoos who sells weed. I was like, say no more, fam. I didn't even have to get ready for the role. I was like, fuck. The script is about a home invasion that takes place on a weed farm, and all the characters are like sketchy weed dealers in Northern California. And I was like, oh fuck, it's perfect. I don't have to do any fucking homework. Like, this is just based on my life story.
That's awesome.
It's all good.
Well, considering in high school you had like ankle bracelets on you,
right after high school.
So this is
I made it through high school without I was on probation in high school, but I don't think I got, like, I was never on house arrest or anything, but I was definitely on probation through high school.
Well, you're doing great now, man. Now, is Sage Northcutt allowed to hang out with you?
Say again?
Is Sage Northcutt allowed to be around you?
I don't know, man. We talked about going to ride motorcycles, but his dad might have put a stop to that.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding, man. Sage is cool as fuck, dude. He's super nice. super cool. Like, first time I ever hung out, like, was ever around Sage. He was so nice, like, I thought he was fucking with me. I thought he was, like, here's, like, he's a dude who's, like, he's all young and shredded, and he's bigger than me. He's, like, bigger, younger, more successful, in better shape. You never want to talk to a guy that's all those things more than you. So I'm, like, standing there. We're at a sparring, and he goes, hey, Feely, like, you want to get around him? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. This is during the warm-up. All right, let's get around him. We'll go round number two. So I get my first sparring round in, grabbing a drink of water. He walks over, pats me on the back, and goes, Feely, big dog, what's up, man? You still want to spar? And I'm like, this motherfucker just called me big dog? Like, dude, this motherfucker, who's younger, bigger, almost for sure has more money in the bank account than me, has way better abs than me. Did he just pat me on the back and call me big dog? Like, I looked around, like, is this guy fucking with me? Is he trying to punk me? And, like, at that moment, I realized, like, no, dude, he's just the nicest fucking guy you're ever going to meet.
That's awesome.
He's completely genuine, completely nice. Everything he says to you, he means. Like, if he says something nice to you, he's not kissing your ass. He's not being facetious. He's not making fun of you. He's just a nice fucking dude, you know what I mean? So, like, after being around the kid for 2 hours during practice, you're going to be, like, a happier person for it, dude. Kid's fucking just something else, man. He's fucking awesome.
Good for him, man. I love being around people like that. I always wonder if they're at home, like, kicking puppies or something, though. Like, if there's some kind of weird... Like
some skeleton in his closet.
Yeah, something going on. Like, if he's like, if
no, I don't think it's kicking puppies, but I think, like, there's something. There's everybody has something. He's got to be at home. He's probably got, like, you know what I think it is, dude. Like, if I had to put money on it, it's not anything like kicking puppies or anything dark. Just like, he probably just has like a harem of fucking like beautiful exotic women, just like. Tied up in his fucking room when he gets home from practice, just waiting for him. You know what I mean?
Either that, or some terrible porn addiction, where he's masturbating to like grandmas or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. When you're fucking shaped like that, dude, I think you're pretty set in real life. You know what I'm saying?
So now, talk to me, because
What would you do if you were 6'2", 21 years old, and you had abs like you were fucking?
I probably would find the baddest girl I could find, which I did, and I married her, and she's having a baby. So we're having a baby soon.
You having a baby?
Yeah, my wife's getting induced tonight. So
congratulations. That's fucking amazing.
Thank you. I'm having a little girl. So
that's incredible. Dude, congratulations, bro. I'm fucking happy for you, man.
Thank you, man. I'm nervous as fuck, to be honest, but.
Yeah, it's fucking dust because it's terrifying, but I mean, you're gonna kill it, dude. I'm excited for you.
Thank
Congrats
you.
On the baby.
I gotta just not survive it. I gotta, like, being a parent, I gotta be the best parent. You know, like, I'm like, oh, my goal is to make sure she doesn't become a porn star or a stripper. Not that those are horrible things. I'm like, all right, but then I'm like, or like a bank robber. But I'm like, no, I have to, like, try to get her to become very happy in life or be successful and to really go for it. You know, that's
like, the goal is to raise a functional human being, you know?
Right, exactly.
Probably easier said than done. Easier said than done, but what's up, boys? But look, if other people can do it, you can do it.
Right, exactly. The goal is to not operate out of fear. Now, I ran into Justin Buchholz after the fight on Saturday, and he was like, well, you know, the coaching is all out of control over there. What's going on at Team Alpha Male?
I don't know what the fuck that guy's talking about. If by coaching's out of control, he means that, like, he has a fucking shitty attitude and he's, like, bipolar and he had a falling out with hella people, then, like, yeah, I guess the coaching's out of control. But everything's fucking going good over here. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, I'm at Team Alpha right now. I just got to run in. I'm about to jump into boxing and everything looks pretty under control to me here.
Okay.
Doesn't look real out of control here. Everything's going pretty smoothly. I heard him say something about irreconcilable differences, which sounds about right. Like, he's just, you know, I can't air out too much dirty laundry, but the guy, like, you know, sometimes power goes to people's head and just don't work out, man. I mean, there's a lot I could say, but there's a lot that I'm not going to. You know what I mean?
Right.
That whole situation, man.
bums me out. I've had numerous people like ask me about bad blood or this and that. It's like, yeah, I don't have any bad blood. I'm really more bummed than anything else, dude. Like, I looked up to that dude for fucking. I've been listening to everything that guy said to do since I was like 19, and you know, I don't really have falling out with people like
now,
the people I'm close with. I've been close with since I was fucking in eighth grade. Like, if I'm cool with someone, like we're cool for fucking we're cool. You know, we're cool for life. So it's a bummer that you can be close to somebody and then they can kind of switch on you. It's a real fucking bummer, you know.
Now,
I've been asked about that a lot, and that's all I gotta say. Really, is it just bums me out.
Now,
I'm not like mad or fucking. I'm not salty about it. I don't have any fucking vendetta. I'm just the situation just fucking bums me out, man.
So is Holdsworth the head coach?
No, I wouldn't even say we have a head coach right now. We have like, which I think was kind of part of the problem with fucking Buckles, man. It's like the whole head coach thing, like, just got out of control. Like, Holdsworth is the head jiu-jitsu coach, you know, and Faber runs a bunch of MMA practices, and Danny is the head wrestling coach, you know. But we also have like multiple national champion wrestlers in here that sometimes will run a practice, or like, I don't know, man. Team Alpha Male is a big co-op. Like, we all help each other out. We look out for each other. It's like a brotherhood, you know. And that's the way that it's always been, and it's breeded a lot of success. And I think like the whole like head coach, like I'm the head coach, like that whole shit, just like.
Yeah, maybe. I misspoke by him saying he's that he's out of control. He basically said, yeah, he's got a lot, all these different coaches, and it's a co-op. That's what he said basically, but he said it in a way where it was like. It was, you could tell he was not happy, you know, with what happened, kind of a thing.
Well, when someone has a bunch of power and they want to hold on to it and use it however they want, even if it's not the right way to use it, and then you take it away from them, like, yeah, they're not going to be happy about it.
Right.
You're like,
right.
when has anyone who ever had complete power over something, and then the people that they have power over break out and do things for themselves, when are they ever happy about it? Like, that's called a fucking dictatorship, you know? Dictators are never happy when democracy is instated. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, when has that ever happened?
Well, also, I mean, you guys have had a lot of success. A lot of the newer guys, younger guys, Sage, you know, there are a lot of people that are doing really well out of Team Alpha Male. So it's not like you guys are, you know, like, I know you guys are 0-12 or some type of thing where it's like the Black Zillions, when they first started, it was, like, terrible. You had a lot of guys. It's just one of those things where it just, you know, TJ just caught him, you know.
Adam, you're breaking up. I can't hear you, brother. Say it again. Sorry.
I was saying it's one of those things. I think.
I can't really hear you.
I mean, it's easier. It's not like you guys have just been getting killed. You've had a lot of people that have been winning. Some have been losing, which, like all camps, you know. I think also It's just one of those things where TJ just caught Cody, you know. I don't know if TJ is the better fighter. He just had the better night. Against Cody. Hello? Yo, Andre. I'm going to call him back right now.
Might be some bad connection at Team Alpha Male.
Hello?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, I
can hear you. Cool. All right, so.
It happened, but the connection got all fucked up. But, I don't know what the last thing you heard me say was, but it's just, I think it's stupid when people who don't know about fighting let one fight, like, mean more than what it, like a fight just means that one person beat the other person, like, which is gonna fucking happen in any fight, like, and if in a title fight, you have the two best guys in the world seeing who the number one absolute best guy in the world is, so it's like, yeah, one of the guys is gonna lose, it's like, one of the guys might get caught, one of the guys is gonna lose his belt, like, that's what the fuck's gonna happen, like, that's the whole point of doing this, it's like, it's weird that when someone loses a fight, people go, oh, like, that must mean the team, or, like, that must mean his coaches, or, like, that must mean something about him other than the fact that, like, no, like, two good guys got in a fight, and one of them won. Like, that's the whole fucking point of the thing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all the fight means. Like, one guy won, one guy lost, that's how fighting goes. The belt fucking changed hands, and that was the whole point of the thing, you know what I mean? Like, That's the whole reason we're doing this. It doesn't mean that fucking any other crazy thing. You know, does that make sense? How I'm explaining it?
100%. Everybody wants to always, like, you know, if Cody would have went out there after that first punch that kind of stifled TJ and just knocked him out, all of a sudden it would have been, oh, well, TJ, Team Alpha Male has the best coaches of all time and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. I mean, people always want some narrative, and they're just fucking bandwagoners, man. Like, people are mostly shit, you know, and they're fair weather and they're front runners, and they just want whoever's winning right now. That's their whoever's winning right now is their new favorite, you know. So like, I saw the same thing with the DJ fight. I was in a somewhat public place, a bunch of people who don't really know shit about fighting, and Mighty Mouse at the beginning of the fight, there was a bunch of people cheering for Mighty Mouse, and by the end of the fight, there was a bunch of people cheering for Cejudo, who have never watched Cejudo fight a day in their life. They don't, you know, like, just because he won, he's their new favorite fighter. Or like, because Mighty Mouse lost, now like, oh, he's lost a step, or he's not as good as people thought, or he's this. It's like, nah, dude, like, that's still one of the best fighters that's ever lived. He just had a bad night, you know? Like, someone had to lose that fight. It happened to be him. Like, that's all that means. You know, that's all the fight means. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
But people don't get that. People always want to add some weird fucking narrative, or they want to, like, I don't know, man. People suck.
People
do. That's the moral of the story, dude. People fucking suck, mostly.
No, I agree. Someone who doesn't suck is a guy, your teammate, Darren Elkins, who beat Michael Johnson. Is he helping you getting ready for this?
Say it again?
Is he
helping me what?
Is Darren Elkins helping you get ready for Michael Johnson?
Yeah, he's helped me out a lot, man. He's helped me out with... I mean, even before I knew I was fighting Michael Johnson, Elkins has been a real main training partner of mine, because he's just such a fucking hard worker. He's got all these really good, you know, crafty tricks. He's been doing this for so long that, you know, he's very, very knowledgeable about the sport, and he's a fucking great training partner. So I actually make a point to go with Elkins all the time, just because he's a hard round. He pushes you hard, and, you know, you always learn something from him. So even before I fight Michael Johnson, you know, I was training with him a bunch, but especially now that I'm fighting Johnson, very cool to get that inside look, you know, someone who's already beat him. It's cool to get that insight.
Now, how much is Castillo, how is he not hooking up with these girls in hot yoga? The fact that he runs a hot yoga studio with just hot...
It's hot Pilates.
Oh, hot Pilates.
It's hot Pilates.
I mean, how
and
is he...
It's been voted the number one ranked Pilates studio in Sacramento for like 6 years in a row, and... I just think that when you get older, you learn a good level of strength, you know? I think he's older and wiser, and I don't know. And he's a professional, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Plus, too, it's like, it's just business and shit. There are a bunch of hot girls running around there, though, for sure.
I'm like, dude, but, how does he not do it? It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a bunch of hot girls running around. But he has a really hot girlfriend who's like a total sweetheart and like really, really, really cool, so... I think maybe we're all just growing up, man. God forbid.
I like Danny a lot. I like Danny a lot. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy.
Yeah, Danny's the best, man. He's a total fucking son of a bitch, but he's the best.
Yeah, 100%.
He's like the mean older brother.
Yeah, totally. Well, listen, thanks for being on the podcast. Go on.
No, go ahead.
No. He kind of reminds me of AC Slater, but like a better version of him, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. He's like one of my best friends said he's like the older brother in like an 80s movie that drives the Camaro and shit and like punks everybody.
Yes, he did. He reminds
me. Why is that guy such a dick? But like also he's bailed me out of a lot of situations and like given me life advice and like rode in the back of an ambulance with me and shit and like been there for me like when no one else was, so.
Yeah.
He's like older brother, man. He's the fucking man.
I remember when that guy Nick, that was a good wrestler. I think he's from Omaha. He was like getting into fights one night. It was when Chad Mendes fought Conor McGregor, and that guy Nick, that's out of the one with the hot mom. You know, Nick's mom is like super hot.
Yeah, I know Nick.
And he was making a complete ass of himself. Yeah. And Danny like sat the kid down and like he's like, "You're a member of Team Alpha Male. You have a certain way you need to behave in public," and gave him a scolding like he was his child. And I remember looking at Danny watching this going like, Like, this is what every team needs, is a guy like this, you know?
And, well, every person needs it, man. I think everyone needs a Danny Castillo in their life.
Yeah.
Just when they step out of line. That's the best part, man. It's the best part about this team. Like, people started to hate a little bit or gotten a little bit jaded and, like, whatever. But, bro, this team really is like a family. Like, I've been around other teams, and, like, this our team really is like a family. And I don't know, man. Like, we have our own way of doing things, but it's I don't know. We're the good guys. You know what I mean? Like Danny's a fucking great dude, and the team's doing well. And yeah, I don't know what the point of what I was gonna say is. I just got off the treadmill. I'm all tired and shit. I had a point when I started, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, everybody needs a Danny Castillo, man. And that's the thing is, like, it's not coach or fucking or fight coach or cornerman or whatever the fuck. It's like real big brother shit. Like I've had real life situations that Danny's helped me through. You know, I've had real like situations in my life that Danny was there for me. You know, it's not like everybody says like, oh, my team's like my family. But nah, man, like my team really is my family. I've spent Christmases at Faber's house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's real.
No, I remember I did a show in Sacramento. The show you were at, my mom was like gonna die. She was gonna die the next day, and I saw Danny, and I was like, I don't think I can do the show. My mom's about to die, and I had to do the show. It was like one of the worst fucking experiences in my life. But I did a show, and it went well. And Danny was like, man, now you're one of us, because now you know how to fight through adversity, and like gave me a huge hug. And I was like, man, that really meant a lot. The fact that Danny, you know, so. I'll always be part of Team Castillo and Team Philly, and hang in there. I look forward to your fight in Nebraska. Stay away from the farmer's daughters. You got a good one, all right? So.
Yeah, I'll do my best, man. I'm excited for this fight. Business trip. There's not a whole lot of distractions in Nebraska, so go there, make the weight, beat someone up, win a fight, and go straight the fuck home, man. Cool. Be good.
Love it. Thanks, Andre.
Thank you.
All right, that was Touchy Feely. Good dude.
Very good, dude. I'm excited for that fight now.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't excited before?
I'm extra excited now.
All right.
I hope he wins, man.
Listen, people, sexual performance issues are way more common than you think. Over 25% of new ED cases are guys under the age of 40. 40% of men by age 40 struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection. How bad is that? You're not even 40 and you're looking at it and it's not going up. And it, you know, you, look, there's a lot of things out there right now that are probably causing that. The internet and this and not being healthy and some of the shit you're putting in your body. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? Go to 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. Guys, we got one. Come on, people. Listen, Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED. There's no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits, no lines. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. Being your best means performing your best. It's hard made easy. It's erectile without the dysfunction. Try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See the website for the full details. Come on, I know money can be tight for some of our listeners, but this will cost hundreds if you went for the doctor or to a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/MMAROASTED. That's FORHIMS.com/MMAROASTED. 4hims.com/MMAROASTED. Guys, definitely check that out, okay? Trust me on this one. Also, I got to talk to you about something else, okay? I'm excited about this one. Let's talk about sex. Good sex. There's used to be a song like that. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk. My wife was like, it sounds like a bad, you know, PSA. But listen, let's talk about sex. Good sex. Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra or Cialis, so you know they work. Yes, it's gum that gets it up. How cool is that? You can take them anytime. day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. You can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. I'm telling you, you see a girl or a guy, you're ready to go, boom, popping that gum, woo-hoo! Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. Doesn't say, like, need a boner? Chew this, okay? No in-person doctor visit, no waiting room in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares the chips direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Want to save money, huh? Want to work it fast? You want gum that gets it up? Go to BlueChew.com. And right now, we got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the promo code MMA. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, code MMA. Try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we can thank them for sponsoring the podcast. BlueChew.com. Are you going to check it out?
Dude, I'm so pumped up to check out Blue Chew.
Really?
Yes.
Yes, right? You just chew gum and boom, get a boner.
Yeah.
How great is that?
It's great.
It's better than great. It's fucking amazing. I'm excited. And I'm very excited about talking to Cynthia Cavillo. She's a hot, beautiful, amazing fighter who got suspended for weed. You got to be fucking...
Yeah, she's still suspended, huh?
9 months. Well, I think she's trying to get on the October card.
Okay.
9 months for smoking weed. What is that bull? Why her? Why, people? Why? What did she do? She wanted to get high. Give me a break. Didn't help her. It's not going to help. You know, you're fighting. What's wrong with these people?
The sad thing
is, like, suspended her.
The sad thing is, almost every single UFC fighter smokes dope.
Yeah,
almost every
yes, and every judge smokes crack. Yeah. Okay, because yeah, it's bullshit, dude. Complete bullshit. This girl should not have been suspended. She's an awesome fighter, and I'm pissed. I'm pissed for her.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna call her right now.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Cynthia Cavillo?
Yes.
Hey, it's Adam Hunter and Ween Dog. You're on the MMA Roast podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm on my way back up to Sacramento right now.
Back from where?
In a car. Yep.
Wait, where were you before that?
In LA.
Oh, you're driving back to Sacramento from LA. Got it.
Yeah.
So where did you spend? Because I saw you at the fight. You were having fun. You were drunk. You were flashing everybody. What did you end up doing? Okay. A lot of those things aren't true, but you seem very happy. It seemed like you
were... I don't remember any of that stuff.
Yeah, you were out of control. You were trying to make out with everybody. You're like, kiss me, somebody kiss me.
Really?
No, none of that was actually happening. So you're driving back. By the way, I was talking about this before. You getting suspended for 9 months for weed is the biggest bullshit in the history of sports. First of all, why was it 9 months? Why did they make an example out of you? What's going on?
Honestly, I think that's just like the minimum that they've had here for the Nevada State Commission. It's always been a minimum of 9 months. I believe so. For unfortunately, they still haven't changed a lot of things that they need to. I know Jeff said that they're working, Jeff Savinsky, they said that they were working on just completely getting it removed off the banned list, because, you know, obviously they think it's ridiculous, so does USADA.
Yeah.
You know, Nevada State Commission gave me 9 months, they give Canelo 6 months, you know, makes more money for them than I do.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, you're right. A guy takes steroids, you get 6 months. A girl that smokes. Now, are you a huge pothead? Are you a casual pothead? Do you just relax once in a while? Are you just like, is it bong hit Mondays? Like, what's going on with you? What type of weed smoker are you?
No, I do use cannabis a lot. I mean, for sleeping and stuff. But as of now, I actually have to not really. I can't use it because I have to submit some clean tests before I'm eligible to fight again.
Got it.
So
it was just to help you sleep. Yeah. So you couldn't sleep. Seems like you have a lot on your mind. So I can see why that. Now, when I saw you in Sacramento when I first met you, I was on stage telling jokes. You were a really good sport. You're having fun. I said girls like you are amazing in bed because you're angry and take all their problems on guys' penises, you know, because you're like gobble, gobble, gobble. And you were laughing. And you told me that you became a fighter. You had no amateur background, no combat sports background. You got mad at your boyfriend for cheating on you, went to the gym, and 4 years later you're in the UFC. Is that true?
I'm sorry, what was it?
So you told me that you got mad at your boyfriend because he was cheating on you, went to a gym, and then 4 years later you're ranked number 5 in the UFC. Cynthia.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? Yeah. Can you hear me?
Sorry, I just got a bad read. I passed a bad reception. Okay. Go. Sorry,
okay.
What would you just say again?
So you told me, okay, you were dating a guy who cheated on you. You were very upset.
Mm-hmm.
You went to the gym, and 4 years later, you're in the UFC, and you had no combat sports background. Is this how it went down?
Yeah, correct. It's something like that. That's very, very close to what happened.
Wait, okay.
No, I went. actually, I started training about 7-8 years ago, and I actually did have amateur experience as a MMA fighter before I turned pro. But before that, I didn't have any experience in terms of, like, athlete or any combat sports like that. Pretty much just what kind of led to it, like, having a really bad relationship and, like, being in a bad place in my life and a lot of stuff. And then, you know, went into the gym and I don't know, I just fell in love with the sport and everything just made sense. And then just been focusing on that and, you know, it's been amazing. It's been an amazing journey.
So how old were you when this guy cheated on you?
I don't know. He probably did it a couple times, but the relationship was done, probably, I think I was like 22 when it was over, and then I started training at 23.
23. So you go there, you walk into Sacramento, the gym. Now, do the coaches, when you hit the pad, do you hit the pads, the guy's holding the mitts, and he's like, wow, you hit really hard?
No, I actually started at a gym in San Jose first. It was the gym really close to my job where I was working at, and I was there for about 3 years, and you know, I needed to advance to a better high level of gym, so that's when I decided to move over to Sacramento, and I've been with Team Alpha Sacramento for like the past 5 years.
Got it. Now were you you were 22 years old, you said you went to community college, didn't really work out, right? You dropped out?
Yeah.
And now were you working at, like, Burger King? Like, where were you working?
When? Or what time?
When you were 22.
I was actually working at the Office of Parking Violations.
The Office of Parking Violations.
I was getting yelled at every day, by people that would be, like, angry people that got tickets by parking meters things. And I had nothing to do with that. Like, I didn't even know these parking meter names. Like, just, you know, I was just... So you'd call in, and I'd give you information about your ticket, and then I'd just get yelled at, and, you know... Yeah, that's probably one of the reasons why I probably started smoking pot.
Yeah, I don't blame you. fucking smoke.
It'd be really chill for that because there's people yelling at you for no reason every day.
So you go into it, like, now, what kind of class did you take? Was it like a overall fitness class? Was it like abs class? Or what kind of class did you go?
It was just like an MMA gym. My first MMA coach, his name is Dave Velasquez. They call him like Little Babe or Little Igor, something like that. I don't know. And he was a fighter for AKA and AKA there in San Jose. And then he opened up his own gym, a small gym, a very old school. So we just spar every day and he trained hard, not so much technique. And, you know, it just made me really tough. And I feel like got me really prepared to go ahead and join Team Alpha Male because I wasn't very super technical, but now I feel like I'm definitely a lot better fighter now than I was when I was at that gym.
But how did you know what you were doing? Like, how did you know how to wrestle or do jiu-jitsu or any of this?
I don't know. You know, I just kind of always picked it up. I feel like because I had two older brothers, they used to, like, kind of pick on me and beat me up and stuff like that. But I don't know. I feel like I've always had, like, a natural ability of being a fighter or being athletic or doing sports and stuff like that, but I never really got a chance to do that. So once I started doing that, like, I was just picking up on everything pretty fast. I had a really good jiu-jitsu coach. I was just tough and I don't know. I have good body awareness and I just picked up on fighting. I'm just, like, a natural born fighter.
Now, the guy that was cheating on you, was he like a cholo? Was he a white guy? Like, what did he look like?
He was mixed. He's a Mexican, but no, he actually joined the Marine Corps. His family was probably more like in gangs and stuff, but he was trying to be the good kid out of the family, I guess, but... He was still fucking dickhead.
Why was he cheating on you, though? I mean, you look like the kind of girl that puts out right away. You're like, you know, you seem very horny. Why would he... What happened?
I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea. I got married really young, you know. You're really dumb and young, and I feel like... it just wasn't a good relationship, but we weren't really happy, and, you know, it was just so, you know, things just play out the way they did.
Got it. Okay, so you go to Team Alpha Male. Now, you walk in, right? Now, does Uriah Faber like you at first? Does he give you the evil eye? Do you stare at his butt chin? Like, what happens when you first walk into Team Alpha Male? Was Danny Castillo, did he tell you to take his Pilates class? Like, how did that happen?
I just showed up to Team Alpha Male. You know, there's so many fighters. There's so many fighters a lot. So it's like, you know, you get on the mat and you got to earn your spot on there and, you know, cement your place and get noticed. So, you know, I know that Katao is like I'm probably been like, as far as, you know, being on the team the longest, as far as a girl UFC fighter, I've probably been there the longest out of anybody. So I've always been pretty much like the only main girl there and training with men, and you know, eventually I started taking notice, you know, like beating up these dudes too. So it's like, you know, it's only a matter of time where they're gonna notice me. I know Uriah would notice right away, and my other coaches and stuff, and you know, just keep working hard and you know, make things happen. But during that time also, when I first moved out there, I ended up getting injured. I broke my arm.
Ugh.
And then I broke it again.
Ugh.
And then I broke it again. So I broke it three times before I can actually make my professional debut. I spent about 3 years in the sideline, watched everybody else kick off, and, you know, I stayed working in the gym even while I was injured. And
did you break
it? You know, eventually, my time came. And
did you break it? Did you break it giving hand jobs? Like, how did you keep breaking your arm?
I broke my forearm blocking a kick, and I kept coming back to training too early, so I kept re-breaking it in training.
Now, okay, so you're there to work. You don't date fighters, or do you date fighters?
No, that's the one thing where you got to be really careful. You know, you don't want to shit where you eat. So, you know, I've realized, especially being in you know, the relationship that I was, it's like, you know, I got to focus on the right thing and make sure my priorities are right and not fuck that up because my training.
Now, when Paige Van Zandt came to the gym, when Paige Van Zandt came and started dating like Cody and dating Andre, were you like telling her, hey, listen, you shouldn't be hooking up with the fighters, or this is not good, or were you like the side chick? Were you like her wing woman? Like, how did that go down?
Man, I just let everybody be, you know, do what they do. She was young. I was already kind of, you know, because I did start up later. You know, I was 23, but I'm 31 now.
Right.
I just, you know, she's young. She's going to do whatever she wants. And, you know, it's not really my place. So to really tell her anything, you know, I just try to lead by example and, you know, do what I need to do and do what's best for me. And, you know, I'm not going to judge other people for what they do. So, but, you know, we did get along. I wasn't against her, and I also, you know, wasn't my place to tell her what to do.
Right. That's good of you. So you weren't cock blocking at all, or clam blocking, I guess they call it? No?
I'm sorry?
So you weren't clam blocking her? Like, you were letting her just do whatever she wants?
No, not at all. I was like, man, stupid, you gotta do. I mean, she's young. I mean, I'm sure she knows that everybody has some experience with it they need to go through. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people during that age, their young 20s, are probably hooked up with a bunch of people and, you know, it's whatever. But, like, this, you know, it's just your place of work or your school, wherever, you know, whatever you want to do. But, you know, it obviously ended up not kind of really working out for her because she didn't, you know, so.
Right.
But it is what it is. I mean, I'm sure she had a lot of fun.
Now you've had some career. People don't know this, but you beat Aspen Ladd as an amateur. You've beaten a lot of good girls. And then you had three fights in 6 months where you were just tearing through everybody. So now this 9 months layoff, you got to be going fucking crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, I've been busting my ass. I keep working hard. I work harder on my, you know, during this time than most people do in their fight camp.
Now so, your first fight.
I'm ready. I'm ready to start a camp.
Your first fight was against Amanda Bobby Cooper in the first UFC fight. Was that the weigh in where she tried to grab Dana's package? Was that the one? You know what I'm talking about? There was one thing where she weighed in, and then on the way out, she tried to grab Dana White's package. And he was like, whoa.
Oh, Amanda Cooper. I don't remember if it was that one with my fight or not. But, yeah, no, I remember seeing that clip where she looked like she's about to grab his package, and then she's just like, oh, just kidding.
Okay, so that wasn't your fight. That wasn't your fight. And then...
And then
another fight you had, Pearl Gonzalez in New York, they were going to not let that fight happen because the girl had breast implants. What a circus. That now, when you found out that, were you going to then try to hit her in the boobs to pop them? Was that something that you were thinking about doing?
About what?
Like hitting her in the boobs after you found out that she had breast implants? Were you like, oh.
Yeah, dude, I was practicing a sidekick to the test, hoping that maybe we'd hit one of them, but it didn't happen in the fight. But when I did take her back, I had to like grab one of them because... like right there, you grab. You know, you got to do when you take someone back, seatbelt, right? And so your hands are over their chest. I got to move around. I sit on their back. I had to grab onto something.
So you actually felt them? I mean, they must have felt pretty nice, right? Or did you like, hey, you need more work? Or
I think they were pretty nice.
Oh, good. That's good. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Did you tell him nice job? Like, who's your doctor? Did you ask her that during the fight?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna ask her. I'm gonna think about it after my fight career. Like, who did?
And then
I couldn't imagine. Is that
And then your last fight against Carla Esparza, after you lost, very controversial loss. A lot of people thought you won that fight. You then said "fuck you" the media and started throwing chairs. You were not a very gracious, not a very gracious loser.
Yeah, no, dude, I just kind of was, my head was in a different place. I was really, I put a lot of time into that camp and probably felt like the best shape I've ever felt in that fight. It was a very frustrating fight for me because I didn't do a lot of things that I had worked on, and but I thought that I had done enough to beat her, but apparently not, you know, not for the judges at least. In my opinion, I took her down. I had one of the biggest rounds in the first round. I took her down, held her down, and landed some bigger punches. Second and third, you know, we're going a little bit back and forth. She did get some takedowns. She couldn't keep me down. So it's just like, for me, I feel like if you get a takedown, they should count as a takedown if you keep them down, you know?
And yeah, I agree.
She never held me down, never really, you know, gave me much damage or anything. I feel like she definitely took more of the damage in that fight. So, but you know, it is what it is. You never want to leave it to the judges. I hate that because every time you do leave it to the judges, there's always something about shit. But I was also frustrated with my fight with Joanne Calderwood because also a lot of people felt a certain way about that fight either, which I don't know how. But, you know, if you finish someone, nobody can tell you them. So at the end of the day, it was my job. I should have finished that fight.
Right. Now, were you surprised how good Carla looked against Claudia? Even though she got the loss, it was a really, really close fight.
No, not at all. I feel like Carla has been adding different tools to her game to help her out. I mean, I know she's tough. You know, I've fought her. And Claudia, she I just feel like she's not the same fighter she was when she first got into the UFC. So I did feel like, you know, Carla was definitely having a good fight against Claudia. I honestly think, in my opinion, Carla won that fight, but they gave it to Kaja.
So you want to fight October 6th, right? That's the date you want to fight?
I hope so. You know, I'm hoping that people get behind me, let the UFC, you know, my suspension's up October 1st, and what better time to come in October 6th, you know, on the Khabib McGregor card, and, you know, I'm trying to get people to push on it. I talked to Mick. I know Dana. I told them. You know, so I put it out there, and I'm hoping that they'll put me on that card. You know, fingers crossed.
Now, who do you want? Now, right now, who do you want to fight?
I want to fight all of them. Everyone. Mick, I was talking to Mick, and he's like, "Who do you want to fight?" I was like, "Give me anyone." I was like, throwing out names. I'm like, "No, sure, he has a fight." Then I was like, "You just give me anyone then. No, I don't care. I'll fight them all. Give me 5 minutes apart. I will fight them all on the same night."
All of them the same night. Okay, so let's look at the girls in front of you.
Yes.
Right now, you're number 9. You're 6-1. You're number 9.
Well, actually, I don't even know what I am right now because they removed me from the rankings. I don't know what I'm going to be once I'm active again.
According to ESPN.com, you are number 9. Mm-hmm. Felice Herrig is number 8. Hello?
She won't. I asked Mick. She said, I think she's got a fight lined up already.
All right, Carla's number 7. Tisha Torres.
Carla's fighting Tatiana Suarez.
Tisha Torres, number 6.
Who's number 6?
Tisha Torres.
Tisha Torres?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll fight Tisha Torres, because Tisha just fought against Joanna.
Carolina.
So that would give her like the 8 week.
Carolina Kowalczyk or Kalkovich. It's number 5.
Actually, if she's available, I would love to fight her. I don't know if she had got any lined up. I know she had to pull out. She had to pull out of one of her recent fights if she was injured.
We got to get better at shit talking. You got to be like, "Hey, Susia, come on, take some of this. You want some of these hands? Like, motherfucker, like, come on. We got to get the shit talking up. Like, I will fucking take my fist and put it up your vagina and make you look like a Jeff Dunham puppet." Like, I mean, that's the kind of stuff we got to say. You know, we can't just be like, "Oh, I'd love to fight
her." Yeah, I mean, just cross the line. Just touch the line, you know? But almost crossing it, but not. Yeah.
All right.
I want to fight, you know, I was thinking about that, you know, we'll see, you know, hopefully this week maybe I'll hear something a week or two about that fight, just because that card's, what, like 8 weeks away, so, you know, hopefully I'll hear something soon and get on that. If not, you know, then definitely we'll get on there and start, you know.
All right,
maybe, you know, spoilers, maybe see somebody will take the bait.
Yeah, Claudia Gadella, number 4.
Yeah, Claudia Gadella, she just fought Carla, but if she's open to fight, I'm down too.
Jessica Andrade.
And then fight all of them.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk, yes.
Jessica Andrade. Yeah,
and then Rose.
I think that Jessica Andrade, they're going to give her, I think she's going to fight Rose next, in my opinion.
Yeah. Jessica. Who do you think wins that fight?
You know, Jessica Andrade, she's a powerhouse. Like, she's definitely a power to like knock you out and maybe pick you up and throw you in the head, but I feel like she would definitely get tired. But Rose Namajunas is a lot more technical, and I think that Rose Namajunas could pull that off and keep her at a distance. You know, obviously you can tell that Rose does have that knockout power. You know, she did knock out Joanna. I have heard from other people too that you know, that seen her train that she does hit hard. So you know, you have somebody who's a technical, longer, you know, fighter who does have packed power in the punch. I think that she does have also the jiu-jitsu experience in case Andrade comes and tries to just take her down and rough her up. I think Rose Namajunas would win that fight.
Got it. Yeah. I can't wait to see that fight. Now, are you single? You have a boyfriend? What's going on?
No, I'm single.
Are you on Bumble or SoulSwipe or Tinder? Anything? Farmers Only?
Oh, what? No, I don't do this stuff. I never signed up for any of those.
Now, how come
just
a girl
a
like you? Girl like
oh,
you?
I'm sorry, wrong one.
Now, you're a beautiful girl. You're fun. You're smart. You're hot. Why are you single? What's going on?
Because I ain't got no time.
No time at all?
If I told you my schedule, you'd be tired just by hearing the first 3 days of the week. If I just told you my schedule was Monday through Wednesday, if I tell you my schedule's from, you know, Monday to Sunday, you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, but don't you have needs? I mean, do you have any fuckboys you call over to like, and then like kick them out afterwards? Nothing?
Oh, geez. Oh, my goodness. What is this? What? Oh my goodness. I don't feel comfortable talking about stuff like that.
All right, good. Okay, good. Good, good. Okay, fine. That's all I have to say. All right. So, like, if, like, Says Northcutt asked you out, what would you say?
If what?
Says Northcutt wanted to go on a date with you. You would say no?
If somebody wanted to go on a date with me?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
All right, listen, guys. Guys that are out there, she's okay. Cynthia Cavillo is ready for you. Okay, so make sure you DM her. All no, I'm kidding. Do not DM her dick pics. Whatever you guys do. Okay, she doesn't want dick pics, right?
I do not like dick pics.
Yes.
Do not send them.
Please. Do not send dick pics, Joe. Ween dog. No more dick pics.
It's too late, dude.
It's too late. All right.
Send me pictures of food.
Yeah,
send me pictures of food. I've been way more excited.
Send her food pics, okay? Guys, food, that's what she wants. She wants food pics. That's it. Just food pics. Okay. Well, listen, Cynthia, I'm a big fan. You're a great fighter, great person. You're smart. You're a cool chick. I have a daughter on the way. I want her to be like you. So,
Aw, thank you.
No problem. Awesome. No problem. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Adam. It's always good talking to you. You're hilarious. So, I can't wait to get back to Sacramento or maybe even Leather City and catch your show. You're always the best.
You're the best. I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you. All right. That was Cynthia Cavillo. I like her.
I do too.
She's a sweet girl.
You really want your daughter to grow up to be like her?
Sure. I mean, why not? She seems like a cool ass girl. Fucking fighter, yeah. Fun, smart, knows what she wants, driven.
Yeah, absolutely. I do like her. She's fun to watch too.
Happy.
Yeah.
I want my daughter to be happy. That's all I want her to be happy.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So that's all that matters. How's everything going with you and your girlfriend?
Dude, I mean, like, for the first time in my life, I'm in a mode where it's like I'm in panic mode when it comes to money. I've never had to like worry about money like this before. So now what I'm doing is like, because now my girlfriend wants to go like out to dinner every single night, dude. I ain't got that kind of money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She wants to go do activities. So I'm having to like sell my blood at plasma centers. I'm thinking about doing
Selling blood?
Yeah, I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to go tomorrow and start selling my blood to plasma centers.
How much do you get for your blood?
You can go there 2 times a week and you get paid like $75 the first time and then $50 the second time.
What are they doing with your blood?
They take the plasma out of it and it's like, I don't even know what the hell that is, but I guess people are in desperate need of it.
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, it's like you're donating, but you're getting paid at the same time.
Oh, that's good.
Something about also going to sperm donation.
No, do not do that. Please do not do that.
I'm kind of worried because I think you have to have like super, like, you have to be in shape and good looking.
You'll get like $9 for your sperm.
Really?
You might have to actually pay them.
Oh, man.
So, don't do that.
Well, I'm just looking for like little outside the box things away.
I hear
to
you, man.
Money,
I don't know. Maybe I could use an assistant or something. I have no money either. All right.
It's all right, dude.
We'll figure it out, Joe.
It's all right.
Hang in there. So we're calling Phil Baroni, who's fighting bare knuckle boxing against Chris Leben pretty soon. See if he picks up the phone.
You have reached the voicemail.
All right, calling him right now. See if he picks up.
He's never picked up the first time we call.
Ever.
It's always like the third, fourth.
I don't think he'll pick up here. I think he'll pick up when I call him through my phone.
My bad. Oh, yeah. Good.
Good. So you're training for bare knuckle boxing?
Well, at the bar right now, but yeah, I'm ready.
Wait, what do you mean you're at the bar? Like you're like drinking?
Get the FaceTime or no?
No, we don't need FaceTime. We'll just do it right now. Wait, so why are you at the bar?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Like it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Why am I at the bar?
Why?
Yeah.
I wanted to drink.
Yeah, that's why I was
born. Now, are you still living in Stockton?
Yeah, I'm in Lodi right now.
You're in Lodi. Okay, now you're fighting Chris Leben in bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah.
Bare knuckle boxing. When's the date? When's the date of this fight?
Yes.
When is this fight going to happen?
Like 8 weeks or some shit.
Now, Chris.
You're supposed to know the date. What's the date, man? You don't know the date of this fight?
Now, Chris Leben is known for having the best chin in the history of the world. The guy is almost impossible to knock out.
He's not going to be able to take my punches, though.
Yeah, no, your punches, they're gonna stop him.
He's not going to be able to, it's not even a discussion. He's not going to be able to take my punches. And if he thinks he can't, expect it to be a really quick fight. But he's a super tough guy. And you know, who could be a harder fight in bare knuckles? His head's pretty fucking big and pretty fucking hard.
Yeah, I know, but this is your first bare knuckle boxing fight, right?
So fucking what? What are you talking about? You've seen bare knuckle boxing guys in Long Island for the last fucking 40 years.
Yeah, but this is your first pro bare knuckle boxing.
Same shit.
Is it true you have to worry about breaking your hands and you have to kind of not hit as hard as you can because you don't want to break your hands?
According to Bobby Gunn,
you're not going to break your hands? Okay.
No, well, what'd you say to me?
According to Bobby Gunn, he says it's all about placement and not power when it comes to bearing up.
So that's what he thinks.
All right. So now, are you getting good pay? Are you getting paid good money for this?
The winner of this fight's Bobby Gunn.
Bobby Gunn's undefeated in bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah. Right. You can't fight me yet.
All right. Now, how are we training for this? Are we training like with boxing gloves on? Are you punching people?
I'm Stockton, motherfucker.
Are you training with the Diaz brothers?
Boxing motherfuckers. I'm in a boxing gym.
Yep.
I'm boxing motherfuckers.
Now, are you still smoking weed every day?
No, I retired on the weed. I retired on the weed.
But you retired? No more weed for you?
Yeah, I retired on the weed.
Why?
I'm going to win this fight, 100%. I'm going to win this fight.
All right. Now, your last fight, you killed the guy at King of the Cage. I mean, you went out and fucking murdered that guy.
All right.
So how many rounds are you doing per week?
We want to drink. Hold on a second. Sorry. No, my bad. What do you want? Yo.
How many rounds a week are you doing?
I'm just... drinks. Yeah, just fucking...
Who's the girl you met?
Can't wait real quick, bro. Yeah, you fucking cock-blocking me again, motherfucker.
Wait, who's this girl?
What are you talking about?
Who's this girl?
I'll send you a picture in a minute.
Is she hot?
Fuck yeah.
Are you going to bang her?
I just did.
You banged her at the bar?
No.
Oh, you banged her at your house.
I'm sending her home. Yeah, banging her Uber.
So you banged her at your house. You take her out for a drink and you set her home in an Uber.
I banged her on the grape farm.
On the grape farm. Nice.
On the grape farm.
Now, did you meet her on Tinder or Bumble or?
I don't know. Where do we meet?
At a coffee shop.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, a coffee shop.
Now, a couple weeks ago, you tweeted out a dick pic, and it looked like it was your dick. I haven't seen your dick, but it kind of looked like your face in the background, and you just wrote dick pic.
You see my dick?
Now, why did you tweet out your dick?
Somebody hacked my phone.
Oh. Now, have you got any porn offers since people have seen your dick?
What?
Any porn offers?
I'm gonna send you some new ones tomorrow.
I don't want to see your dick ever again. No, have you gotten any porn offers or people that like your dick or women that have been hitting you up?
I got one machine in that. What do you got offers? What do you mean?
It just seems like a lot of girls would like your dick. It was pretty big, I gotta say. It was a little crooked, but you know.
So what? It's a little banged.
It's a little banged up.
Tell us not crooked.
See? What did she say?
It's not crooked.
It's not crooked. All right. Okay. So, all right. Well, listen. So, all right. So, what's the goal here? So, are you fighting King of the Cage again?
I'm gonna knock this guy out.
Knocking out Chris Leben.
They're not the boxing champion of the world. Knock this guy out. I'm gonna fight Bobby Gunn.
Are you getting paid good money for this fight?
Yeah, I'm gonna be rich.
Now, it also said you were on the Tito undercard, the undercard of Tito versus Liddell. You were gonna fight. Who was it?
Belfort.
No, Vitor Belfort. Is that happening?
He's afraid. He won't sign.
Now, did you sign your contract?
Oh, I said I'll take the fight. I mean, I'll fight him.
Who called you? De La Hoya called you, or Tito called you, or Chuck called? Who called you?
Chuck's manager.
Chuck's manager hit you up, said, "Will you fight Vitor Belfort?" And you told him steroids optional, right? And do as many roids as you want.
Yeah, take as many steroids as you want.
And you were going to do steroids?
Take as many as you want. I'm gonna take more. Kick your fucking ass. Take as many steroids as you want. I got better ones.
By the way, I hung out with AJ Amazon the other night, the guy that you did the grappling match against. He said you put him in a can opener. He said he was
I beat his ass.
He said he was sore for a couple days. After the can opener, he said he was sore for a couple days.
He said he was what?
He said you were the strongest guy he's ever grappled against.
Yeah, I'm the best. I'm the super. You know how good a wrestler I am. I can't listen, bro. I'm so black. Like Sonya Dort, the real deal is like Sonya Dort. Oh, they like this guy. They always in one of shows. He's gonna go in there and whoop me. You know what I mean? So I went to the gym for a week, remembered some jiu-jitsu, and I smashed him. And they said he was a wrestler. I hit him with a Russian. I took him out with a Russian inside out.
Well, he was a wrestler, too. He wrestled also.
I hit him with all my moves.
Well, he wrestled for Ohio State. He wrestled for...
I'm a two-time All-American. He's a piece of junk wrestler. North Carolina. He's a fucking piece of junk.
No, he wrestled for Ohio State under Tom Ryan.
I used to wrestle with the New York AC with Dean Morrison and real fucking wrestlers, not fucking some bullshit jiu-jitsu wannabe fucking steady-ass North Carolina wrestler.
No, he wrestled for Tom Ryan under Ohio State. He wrestled for Ohio State under Tom Ryan.
Yeah, right.
That's what he told me.
Tom Ryan sucks too. I beat Tom Ryan's ass all the time anyway.
Well, according to you said you wanted to wrestle Tom Ryan. I asked Tom Ryan. He said only if the match is over 4 minutes.
I smashed Tom Ryan.
You would not smash. What? No fucking way would you smash Tom Ryan.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I would wreck Tom Ryan. My dick's bigger than Tom Ryan. You're out of your mind.
You're no way you'd beat Tom Ryan.
I used to beat Tom Ryan's ass when I was in college. Why did I went to a different school?
Yeah, why did you get kicked out of Hofstra, by the way?
Because I smashed Tom Ryan all the time.
What, you got kicked out for beating the coach?
Well, it's a long story, but I did some stuff on the team, guys. But anyway.
Well, didn't you have the whole football team on steroids?
I showed the team 42nd Street in Hempstead.
Wait, I heard that you get the whole football team on steroids, and then they won the championship that week, and then it got because of you.
That was long. That happened too. I did that too.
All right, so here we are, 2018. Phil Baroni is fighting Tom. No, not Tom Ryan. Fighting Chris Lieben in bare knuckle boxing, and then you want to wrestle Tom Ryan. You said you could smash.
I want to box. I want to box the dude. I want to wrestle Tom Ryan.
Well, no, because Gian Vellante told me that Tom used to smash him, and Gian Vellante is a big dude.
I just smacked the shit out of Tom Ryan.
Really?
Tom Ryan's at 165 pounds.
But he's still, he was like second in the country.
So who cares? I think. So was I. I'm a beast. Tom Ryan.
I know.
Tom Ryan.
You think you could be Chris Weidman in wrestling?
Yeah.
Really?
It would be a hard match, but yes. Come on.
No, you're good.
I would definitely beat him. I could definitely beat him.
I'm not saying prime Baroni. I'm saying now.
I'll wreck Rockhold wrestling every day. So I could definitely beat Chris Weidman.
Who do you think wins that rematch, by the way, Rockhold or Weidman?
I'm a super good wrestler. You know that?
I know you were a good wrestler. You were, what, second in the state in New York, high school? And then you wrestled, you were All-American.
Yeah, the fucking freshman.
Fuck. That's pretty amazing.
Sophomore.
It's pretty amazing.
One of the county's freshman, sophomore, and then second. Anyway.
All right. So, and I heard one
and
time,
only one
I heard.
State,
I,
there's only one state, there's only one state champion in New York.
And then I heard you and what's his name got into
and then he went to Penn State. John Lang, the state champion that year.
I heard you and Phil. I heard that you and what's his name, Jay Hieronymus, got into a fist fight during the weigh-ins when you were on the same team, and the coach was going to leave you in Buffalo.
Yes, that is a true story.
Why did you guys fight in the locker room and you were on his team?
We always used to fight, me, Jay. I got him in the UFC and fight me. He's a little homie, but he got a tough guy day. So we had to smack him around. You know what I mean? He's like 158 pounds, like Tom Ryan. You know what I mean? And so.
All right. Now, is Chuck Zito going to be in your corner for the bare knuckle boxing fight?
Yeah, Chuck Zito's going to be in my corner. For this fight, he's going to be in my corner when I knock out Vito Belfort. Chuck Zito's always in my corner.
I like it. I like it. Well, listen, Phil Baroni versus Chris Lieben. We don't know when it is, but it's going to happen soon. Bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah, it's about 8 weeks, bare knuckle.
And you're getting paid, what, like 50 grand, 100 grand, 200 grand?
Definitely not going to want to miss it. No, I'm making what I used to make for fucking Strikeforce.
Nice. All right, I think that's good.
Same deal.
All right, are you cutting out sex for a month or two?
What?
Are you cutting out sex for your fight? Or no? Let me talk to this girl right now. Let me talk to this girl.
What?
Let me talk to this girl.
Hold on.
Hello?
Hello, how are you doing? How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. So you just had sex with Phil Baroni about an hour ago?
Sure did.
And how was it?
I don't kiss and tell.
No, no, he says he's the best ever in bed. He says he does things to women that no one ever can do. Is this true?
Oh. Yeah, of course.
Okay, so he made you orgasm and took care of you and took care of all your needs?
A lady doesn't kiss and tell.
But I'm not sure if you're a lady. Okay, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's good. That's good. Good for you. That's good. So would you...
Hello? Ask her how tall she is.
How tall are you?
6 foot.
6 foot. And how big are your boobs?
Double D.
Double D. Wow. And what do you do for a job, for a living?
So do the math.
All right. So she's double D, 6 foot.
You got,
she's a stripper?
No.
She's
not a stripper.
A doctor? A banker?
Not
sure. No. Well, she seems very happy. She said you were very good. She's a PA?
PA, whatever that is.
A PA?
PA.
A personal assistant?
Whatever that is.
A piece of ass. Listen.
Physician's assistant.
Oh, nice. Well, listen, Phil, keep up the good work. I can see that you're training hard, being at the bar.
I train really hard, bro.
Your dick is hard. Now, it's 4:11.
His stamina is great. It's like
so,
20 times better.
How long did he last? So he lasted 2 minutes with you or 3 minutes?
No, hours.
Hours. Wow. Hours. That's crazy. And good for you. Now, doggy style, reverse cowgirl, everything? Hello? All right. Well, thank you. It was very nice talking to you.
I'll leave it to your imagination.
Perfect. Cool. Well, thank you very much. I'm happy that you make Phil happy. Phil deserves to be happy.
So. Yeah, it's me.
All right. Listen, Phil, keep up the good work, man.
Happy evening. Okay.
I love you, brother.
I'll send you a picture in a minute. So I'm going to send you a picture in a minute.
I can't wait to see it.
All right.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Bye.
All right. That was Phil Baroni.
Wow. Speechless, dude. I don't know what to say. A lot of words.
That's Phil Baroni, life coach. He's the man. He's banging girls at 4 p.m, taking them to bars. He's throwing down Chris Lieben.
Now I'm excited for his fight. Ain't nobody sell a fight better than Phil Baroni.
Well, what do you have coming up, Ween Dog?
I just dropped a new episode of the Paranormal Hour where I talk about the early life of Jeffrey Dahmer. It's a two-part series. The second part is going to be dropping out this week. It's really good. A lot of people are saying they loved it. So check it out, the Paranormal Hour.
Nice. All right. This Friday night, I'll be at the Ice House, 8 o'clock. Saturday, I'm at the Alhambra at the Azul Ultra Lounge. And then at the end, I'm in the 30th. Of September, I'm in the Parlor in Bellevue, Washington. I'm in Springfield, Missouri at the Blue Room, August 31st, September 1st. Chattanooga Comedy Catch, September 6th to the 9th. Rochester, New York, September 19th and 20th. And then British Columbia, Vancouver, Laugh Line, September 28th and 29th. Des Moines, Iowa, October 4th, 5th, and 6th. And Cedar Rapids, October 12th. And then Omaha, Nebraska, October 14th. Kansas City, Missouri at the Improv, October 15th. If you go to shop on Amazon, go to my website first. Go to adamhunter.com, then click on the link, then buy whatever you want. I have a new CD, Adam Hunter Still Broke. You can get it on Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, all kinds of stuff. Ween Dog, I love you, buddy.
Love you,
Thank
too.
You guys so much. I'm going to be a father. By the next time I talk, you guys hear from me.
Hopefully.
No, it's going to happen.
Okay.
Love you guys. Bye. Trap, sons, and trap, don't sons. Tune in, sons, to hook, jim, dorpo, lam. Tada, stolt, and dorpo, da, moro, da.